If you've been following the program, then you know we have a very deep interest in technology, how it's created, how it's used, and how it affects the country. We've been particularly interested in groups that haven't had as much access to this vital area in our Women in Tech and Blacks in Tech series on Twitter and on the radio. We've been able to experience in real time the impact of so-called minorities and women are making on this country's science and technology engine. And I think it's fair to say that the engagement we generated, close to 200 million impressions on Twitter, demonstrates the incredible appetite for knowledge about the contributions of these thought leaders, entrepreneurs, and scientists. And as our program winds down, you know, our last program is August 1st, we wanted to touch base on some of these important issues at least one more time. So we've called upon Ben Jealous. He is the former president and CEO of the NAACP. He recently joined KPR Capital. It is a Bay Area group that invests in social impact tech startups. He's with us now in our Washington, D.C. studios. Once again, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
In your new incarnation. James Oliver Jr. is the founder of WeMontage and was part of our Blacks in Tech series. He joins us from WHID, which is in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Welcome back to you, Mr. Oliver.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And also joining us, entrepreneur Francesca Escoto of Latina Startup Tour. She joined us from WUSF, which is in Tampa, Florida. Francesca Escoto, welcome to you as well. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So, Ben Jealous, let me start with you. When you left the NAACP this past spring to join KPR Capital, does this tie into your civil rights background in some way, or is this just a fresh start for you?
You know, look, I think it's both. I think it's both and. I think like most people, the first 10 years of my professional life, I excelled because I was willing to do things that were new every day if possible. And in the second decade, I excelled because I found a few things I was better at than most and was willing to do them over and over. So this is exciting to me personally because it's an opportunity to do something in a new way, but it's something I've been doing for a long time, which is trying to figure out fairly simple ways to solve big social problems for hundreds of thousands or millions of people. And some of the issues that we're dealing with at KCAP are precisely the same that I dealt with at the NAACP, but we're finding more effective ways to actually move the ball forward. I'll give, you know,
just give me one example.
Sure. The cost of inmates calling home is something that I was dealing with the FCC on for years, and we just never seem to get very far because there's a whole lot of profit in it. It can cost up to $3 per minute. Per minute to call home, depending on where you are. So at KCAP, we've supported a guy named Frederick, and Frederick has a company called Pigeonly, and Pigeonly has disrupted the market for inmates calling home from first federal prisons and now state prisons dramatically, dropping the cost by about 90%.
So you don't have to go through the whole regulatory hoops and the legislative hoops. I mean, you can find a technological solution to this problem.
You just took Google Voice type technology and used it to help folks who are in prison get a phone number that is local to their prison but connected to their home thousands of miles away and cut the cost of calling home by about 90% in the process. You know, similarly, we have company up in Washington Heights called Regali. They've cut the cost of people sending money home to a foreign country, but also by about 90% versus Western Union, and made it safer. You know, in the past, look, and even for many people right now, when they want to send money home, say, to the Dominican Republic, it costs them about 30%, but also, you know, their grandmother who's waiting is waiting in a storefront window where people have her marked the moment she walks out and they know she has cash in her pocket. What Regali has done is cut that cost, but also made it possible to transfer the funds on the cell phone.
Okay. I think we got it. One of the other efforts that the KPR Center is supporting is an effort to take tech tools directly to Latino communities around the country. Francesca Escoto is part of that. So, Francesca, why don't you tell us about the Latina Startup Tour?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you to KPOR for what they're doing. They're very intentional about identifying talent in communities of color and supporting it through both development training, but also financially. What the Latina Startup Tour aims to do, we're reaching 800 women in 8 cities in 2014, and the goal is to bring the training to them. We deal with both a gap in technology access, but also also language access. And so there's a lot of lingo that is built up in, whether you call them accelerators, incubators, whatever, throughout Silicon Valley. Well, that doesn't reach our communities, and it doesn't reach them in a language or at an academic level that they can fully grasp. And so we are taking that on the road, and we're making sure that we bring that to Latinas. We are the fastest growing entrepreneur segment in the U.S. We are starting businesses at a faster pace than any other group. And what we're trying to do is bring awareness to these Latina mothers, in many cases, and recent immigrants that, you know, you make a dress, you're a seamstress, you make 50 dresses, you're a really good seamstress, you make 100 dresses, you're into garment manufacturing.
So what's the plan here? Is the plan to allow, to give people, you know, opportunities to understand how technology can improve their existing businesses? Is it to try to encourage people to encourage their children to pursue STEM careers? What's the goal of this immediate project here?
The goal here is to help Latinas see themselves not only as users but also creators of technology, and to see their businesses as opportunities to embrace technology and to become partakers of the tech startup economy.
Okay. James Oliver Jr., you were part of our Blacks in Tech series back in December of 2013, and I do want to hear about your company and what you're doing, but I'm also I'm really interested in this whole question of what the whole question of diversity in the tech field and what makes a difference in getting more people of different backgrounds into this field. So briefly, I understand that WeMontage, am I pronouncing it properly?
Yeah, you are.
And tell me what you do. You can create what, big wall display art with family photos, right?
Kind of, yeah. So it's the only website on the internet that I know of that will let you take your pictures and turn them into large custom photo collages on removable wallpaper.
And that's particularly helpful if you have, say, family members who are in assisted living or nursing homes or something like that.
So it's to jog
their memories. It's also of a size where it's easy to see.
Yeah, mm-hmm. College dorm kids, dorm students as well. Exactly. Just, you know, really any place you want to display photos, or you can't put nails in a wall, like people living in military housing, when they move out, they have to pay fees for move out fees for putting nails in the wall. But anybody who's a picture enthusiast, it's an affordable alternative to things like popular canvas wraps, as well as picture frames, which are incredibly expensive for custom framing.
What gave you the idea for this? I'm just wondering, and forgive me if I don't mean to be, you know, crude about it, but do you think that your background had something to do with your own identity, had something to do with what gave you the idea?
Oh, my God, no. It was actually my wife was watching an interior design show on television, and they were in the basement covering the wall with these big black and white beautiful collages. And for me, that was really a moment of inspiration. And I say inspiration, I mean that in, like, the spiritual sense. It was, like, a huge aha moment for me. But in terms of, you know, why I thought I could do that, my background is not tech-oriented. I'm the guy that wants to start a tech company but doesn't know how to write a line of code. But I would attribute that to my mom, who taught me ever since I was a kid that I could do whatever I put my mind to. And then, you know, I went to Morehouse College. I mean, graduated a million years ago. I'm not going to say when. But, you know, going to Morehouse, they instill in you a certain confidence. And I think, you know, a combination of my mom and it's just something that's really stubborn about me. Maybe it's because I'm a tourist and I just believe that I can, you know, persist and get these things done.
But I was going to go back to this whole question of the diversity in the field. And Sure. Why do you think this – why does it matter?
Well, you know, it gets actually what he was just talking about, which is that it's not so much about identity as it is about your lived life, what you experience. People solve the problems that they see. When you talk about, you know, somebody who starts a new business, it's because they're trying to scratch their own itch. And so if you're in San Francisco, there is – not just one startup, there are probably 10 startups for every problem that a rich person has. If you go across the bridge to Oakland, where we have our offices, there's a whole bunch of problems waiting to be solved, and there's not even one startup to solve them. What you see with a Pigeonly, with a Regali, even with a WeMontage, is somebody seeing something that most of the folks who are of the class, if you will, starting startups these days, don't see. And for us...
So they wouldn't necessarily think about what it's like to have to pay a fee to take something off the walls. So it wouldn't necessarily occur to them that this is a problem.
Because when
or they wouldn't necessarily understand.
Heights, yeah. you don't pay a fee for taking something off the walls, right? But the key point here is that there's profit in that, because most people are like the people in Oakland, if you will.
And
not like the people in Pack Heights and increasingly throughout San Francisco.
Francesco, you wanted to say something?
Well, yeah, I'm like bursting here. That's exactly it. What happens is we are solving problems. We're just not calling it technology. And so we are marginalized to some extent, either by self or society. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into that, but we are solving problems. We're not calling it what it is. And so we're not participating in all the full extent of this economy. So what we're doing, and I think that it's the same thing that the other gentlemen are talking about, what we're doing is, okay, you don't know how to code. Guess what? It's okay, because you can still solve this problem. Mm-hmm. There are people who can code. What you need to bring to the table is the idea. You need to bring the problem, and we'll help you get the tools and the resources to solve the problem.
James, what about you? And I'm also particularly interested in whether you feel as an African American entrepreneur that there are obstacles for you that don't exist for others like you. I mean, for example, is it a question of whether you put your own picture on your website?
Oh, that's a great question. Just circling back to what she said, I think she's right. And fortunately for me, I was really fortunate enough to get into a tech accelerator in Wisconsin called Generator. And, you know, they were very helpful in helping me bring the idea to the market with access to resources, credibility, et cetera, and raising capital. But, yeah, I mean, there are a couple of things that I think about that I don't think the average entrepreneur thinks about. Like, for example, like you said, on our website, our twins who, you know, have African-American twins who are just beautiful. They're 18 months old. I think they're beautiful. And that's the feature image on the website. And I just, you know, I wonder sometimes if, you know, could that be hurting my business? You know, I don't know, but I'm not changing it because I love my kids.
I hear you. They are gorgeous. Let me give a final thought to Ben Jealous here. Could you tell us, I promised I'd ask you about the impact generation. What does that mean?
Look, we have a rising generation in this country that's totally wired, that knows that they can make a huge profit, but that also wants to make the world better at the same time. And, I have faith that that generation will ultimately get sort of capitalism in our country back to what it was supposed to be a long time ago, when it was about people in villages making the most of their possibilities. Back then, if you will, who you were, your reputation had something to do with whether or not you were successful. Today, you actually have to be very intentional if you want to bring sort of who you are and what you're about and how you make money into one place.
All right. Well, let's hear more about this in the future. We hope we'll be talking more about this in the future. I'm speaking with Ben Jealous of the Caper Center for Social Impact and Caper Capital, former president and CEO of the NAACP. James Oliver Jr. is the founder of We Montage. Francesca Escoto of Latino Startup Tour. They were all here with us today. Thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And this social media note, you can follow our conversations on Twitter and Facebook at NPR Michelle.